Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2 days from now, I'll be at Mike's Beer Bar with Mulzy and hopefully several of you. And I'll be 2 hours away from getting my nipples pierced because I moronically thought the Steelers team was different and wouldn't blow a game to a team like the Bengals playing a 40-year-old quarterback without its best defensive player. I was wrong. And now I have to pay the piper and get my nipples pierced at Mike's.
In a way, Pony, briefly, let me just interject. You might have delivered your biggest jinx yet. You made that bold of a bet, and their defense has cratered in pretty much historic fashion for 2 weeks straight now.
I did learn my lesson and pick the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet, you know what's ironic? I was going to wait for the hodgepodge for this. I'll just say, you are also in the 99.9th percentile in a picks contest on ESPN because for all the crap we give you for the bad picks and the bad bets you make that you have to pay off in this way,
yeah,
you are picking games better than all but 51 other people on the planet who entered this thing.
That's true.
Out of how many, like, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands? Do you know how many people there are?
I think there's 500,000 people in it.
So out of the size of a city, like a population of a city nearly like the size of, I don't know, Columbus, Ohio, let's say, twice the population almost of Pittsburgh City proper, they're all picking games. 51 of them are doing better than you.
Yeah.
It's actually impressive that when you do stuff on the air, you're this bad at it, or that when you tweet about a game, you're as wrong as often as you are because you're right on all the other ones.
Well, I did call the Jets yesterday.
That was a good call.
But I also had a bad feeling about Pitt and picked North
Carolina
State.
Do you want to know where you and I, Big Dog, where we made off like bandits? We picked the Ravens thinking Jackson was coming back, and Big Snoop Huntley got it done for us.
Yeah, well.
Well, and picks against Donnie.
Still didn't enjoy it, though.
And picks against Donnie. I just need to get clear of Donnie so I don't have to do anything embarrassing.
So we'll be at Mike's on Wednesday from 6 to 8. Tickets are $33, which is the number of points the Bengals scored in that game. You get food, and you get a commemorative T-shirt. That's a pretty cheap night out to get all of those things. And all the money goes to a great cause, which is the McGee Women's Research Institute and Foundation and the fight against breast cancer. Mike generously has stepped up and said he will match every ticket sold up to $5,000. I don't know how the ticket sales are going. I said out loud several times here, I have no idea how much interest there actually is in seeing a man get his nipples pierced in person. I'd prefer it if you go. If you can't, I still would be honored if you made the $33 donation and got tickets because it's going to a great cause. And there'll be a raffle there. I just talked to Pitt. I think we're going to have a Mason Heinschel signed football that we're going to have for raffle. I don't know how many of those are even out there, so that's a pretty cool collectible. Also, something I need to talk to them about, a Pirates game to see Paul Skeens pitch. A Paul Skeens game with me, you, and Donnie. How about that? And if I'm there and Skeens is pitching, there's a decent chance Skeens will make eye contact and wink or give some kind of look at us during the game. So that's the kind of personal experience, personalized experience you're going to get.
Now, there are people who have seen all of your bad tweets.
Yes.
Mason Rudolph will be better than Lamar Jackson. Pickett to Pickens. Don't need to go into him. I have talked to many people who read the great Noah Hyles feature on you.
Uh-huh.
Who said that when they were thinking of your weirdest or worst tweets, that the I swear Skeens made eye contact with me and I inspired him tweet or whatever, I'm paraphrasing. There are people who insist that that is by far your worst ever.
Well, that's happened multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
At games, for the record. All proceeds will go to the charity. It's Pony versus Pony Pierce's Cancer, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel, South Hills Kia, South Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Hampton Beer Outlet, and Cheerleaders. So many of our sponsors stepping up and becoming a part of that event, which makes me happy.
Many of the YouTube commenters wondering if this is going to be their time to make an appearance for the first time at one of the fan public events.
Here's one, Johnny and Farrell. Hello, John.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
Hey, brother.
Let me turn the music down. I didn't think you guys were going to put me on. Hey, here's what I'm going to say. We've seen three things against the Steelers or with the Steelers that you have never seen before in your life, okay?
Yep.
One, almost 100% crowd in Cincinnati. Two, a referee saying the player who instigated it, that's what we wanted for 40 years of our lives, and they brought it out against a Steeler when everybody was beating the crap out of each other. And the third is, when the last time you seen a 60-40 Steeler game when the Steelers are in first place? Now, I'm telling you, man, Fidel is manipulating this. Do you think Andrew Berry did that on his own without permission from the league vis-a-vis Roger Goodell to trade Flacco? The league can stop trades. They didn't just not stop it. They instigated it. Goodell went to Berry and said, look, I'll do anything for you if you do one thing. Okay, trade Flacco to Cincy just to spite Rooney.
Johnny, what is your theory as to why Goodell Roger Goodell want to screw the Steelers?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there's many reasons. One, it's because the Steelers halt progress in their view.
Mm-hmm.
All he cares about is money, dude. The gambling thing, I guarantee in back rooms, Rooney's are like, no, dude, you do not want to get in that. You're dealing with
You're right. The Rooney family would definitely not get involved with anything like betting on horse races or anything like that.
You don't think that would cause a rift with these owners and these crappy teams that want money? Look, Goodell wants to put out franchises across America, okay, of these teams in parody, and the Steelers don't give them any extra money. The Steelers and Steeler Nation give X amount of money per year of buying power because we're humble people and we come from hard work. But the rest of America just wants to spend.
You got any tomatoes growing outside still, Johnny? It's getting cold, but you got tomatoes?
So the man who has Dan Rooney to thank for being promoted to commissioner is now on an open campaign, according to you, open in terms of in NFL circles. People inside the NFL know. He is out to get the Steelers.
Conspiracy collusion across the board. I have 30 pages already. I have about 12 videos. It's gonna be thousands.
Wait,
of videos.
30 pages of what? Like
of the research he's done here. Researcher. He's putting together. Yeah, he's putting together a document here.
Yeah, I was a political researcher for Iowa State, dude. Like I don't get the answer. I get the answers behind the answer. I'm gonna bury Goodell.
Can we cut him just saying, I'm going to bury Goodell?
Tin foil must be warm this time of year.
All right, I like Johnny. He's a very good sport. He participates in the YouTube chat, and he often sits on hold for hours of the show. I was thinking of one thing in my mind's eye during that call.
Sure.
The Always Sunny meme where Charlie Day is sitting in the room with all the red string,
Chris,
and he's pointing and he's going wild. That's all I could think about.
Okay. A couple of compelling aspects of that call, though. I want to focus on one. He is right in one certain respect. For years, we've heard it's not the guy who starts the fight; it's the guy who finishes it.
That's true.
So to hear last night, Herbig, the guy that gets flagged because he started everything.
Correct.
Johnny's right.
That is uncharted territory.
It's not a hockey the instigator rule. I don't think I've ever heard an NFL official say, we're going to flag the guy 15 yards who started it because we caught him. And I also want to say this about the offside penalty that they missed. So the refs came together, and then Terry McAuley for NBC is like, well, it would boggle my mind, basically, if they overturned this call.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was disingenuous about that was these guys, Tirico, Collinsworth, McAuley, they just worked a game where we found out afterwards that the Lions had a touchdown disallowed against the Chiefs, that Jared Goff touchdown catch, because somebody in New York buzzed in and said there was a legal motion there.
Mm-hmm.
So if New York can buzz in and say illegal motion, throw a flag, why can't New York buzz in and say throw a flag here, it was blatantly offside? I thought that's why they came together there, because there was that eye in the sky, whoever it is, was talking to the refs like, we've got a real case here to throw a flag after the fact. And they just decided not to do it.
If you wanted to be fair on both sides, they could have easily done that with the
Broderick Jones
play,
too. I agree.
Where he left
I agree.
Early.
And it was a
positive play on a positive drive for the Steelers.
I agree, but my point is they've opened up Pandora's box with that Lions-Chiefs game.
But they're only doing it part way.
But I thought it was dishonest that McAuley pretty much said, oh, we don't see the refs just throw flags after the fact like this. Yes, we do. Here's Matt in the North Hills. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
Real quick, I have 2 points that I wanted to touch on, and kind of then I'll hang up and listen. First off, the problem with the Steelers for years is their inability to ever fully commit to rebuilding and tearing it down. If you go back even to the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, which I thought was misguided then, everything since then has been trying to perpetuate what is essentially mediocrity. Even drafting Kenny Pickett, the whole reason behind drafting him was he was ready. They've never been ready to commit or been able to commit to starting over. And I know it's a crapshoot, but would have liked the chance to have Bo Nix or Drake May. It's not a
Drake May. I would have signed in blood. I would have driven to the airport to do whatever trade needed to happen to get Drake May.
I understand that, and I agree with that, Matt. But I would just say, I'd offer this up. Who thinks that any of those quarterbacks would thrive here?
I think May falls into the Roethlisberger basket of so talented, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. And I think Josh McDaniels is a really good coordinator, bad head coach. So I think he's gotten a big lift by having that coaching change made there. But
there's probably, by the way, no quarterback great enough physically on their own to overcome what we believe to be a problem here, which is that Mike Tomlin oversees a coaching staff won't develop one.
Are you ready to second-guess Harmon over Dart?
Not yet, partly because I do think Dart's a guy who needs a better offensive ecosystem around him.
Listen to Starkey on Wednesday to hear about his Starkey card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at 93.7thefan.com's contesting page. Turn my mic off. More of your thoughts on this awful loss, because that's why we're here, to let people vent and sound off and give their version of things inside of things at 412-928-9370. Also, PM Team Professor is coming up. What grade would you give Aaron Rodgers last night? What grade would you now give the Steelers for their offseason? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Here's a headline with Charlie.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
PMT professors, Donnie is on leave. Maybe he's working on a thesis or a book project or something. Although based on what I saw from the professor last night on Twitter, he would have given everybody Fs for what happened last night. He's probably happy he missed that game in person and wasn't there tailgating with the Nasty Boys beforehand. Instead was at a highfalutin wedding that included him hanging out with the CEO of Chipotle. I want to get back to calls, but let's give some grades out here, Chris. What grade would you give Aaron Rodgers for last night? I think this will be a good one to do because I think that the grades are not... When we do Tomlin, everyone's going to say F.
Yeah.
So I think this one's pretty subjective, and I could see it going a number of different ways.
I'm giving him, like, at best, I think I got to give him a C+. One of the touchdowns and a decent chunk of the numbers, I would say C, are garbage time, complete trade yards and yards and even a touchdown for points. I thought he made a really vintage throw to Roman Wilson right off the bat in that game.
Agreed.
But I just didn't, partly because I didn't think they could protect him all that well, and I thought it got thrown off. I just wasn't overwhelmed by his performance by any stretch. I thought it was pretty average.
I gave him a B. I think it changes if DK Metcalf makes that catch in the end zone that he flipped out about afterwards. And I think Metcalf should make that catch. Nice play by the corner, but he's got to hold on to the ball. He's one of the strongest dudes in the entire NFL. It's in his hands, make the catch.
I thought that was more good play by the corner than it was anything else.
No doubt, but
I don't think Metcalf ever like got his hands on it and then secured it.
It hit his hands, though.
It hit his hands, but the defender's hand was in there while it was hitting his hands. Like, simultaneous to the ball hitting Metcalf's hands, there's a hand spiking it out.
I've just seen him get the ball taken away from him now twice in consecutive games in really big moments. The fumble or the interception at the end of the first half against the Bengals and in this play. Like, I agree with you that he didn't really do anything spectacularly, but I also don't really put the offensive shortcomings on him either. I thought he was fine. Like, did he play? He was not the better of the two quarterbacks. If he were playing against the Steelers defense, though, I think he could have completed like 17 or 18 catches in a row and thrown for over 300 yards.
He's been good enough this year, though. This is going to be unfair. Maybe you're going to tell me that as a teacher, I'm letting a person's performance, stand in the way, but he's been so good at times when they've needed him to be their best player that I held him to a higher standard for last night's game, and I just didn't feel like he reached it.
What grade would you give the Steelers now for their offseason?
C-, below average. I'm veering towards D+. I mean, they made almost...
D+?
No, you know what? C-. Here's why. I'd give the Rodgers like a B+, and it feels like the defensive changes they've made have been... Like a D. So maybe C-. Yeah, C-. I think that's the right answer because Rodgers has been an obvious net positive. He's got the highest touchdown percentage in the league.
Right.
But all the things they've done to remake and remodel their defense have suddenly curdled, like in real time.
See, I would say to you...
Johnu comes over, by the way, in that trade, he hasn't done much.
No.
He was kind of just... He dropped a pretty key pass yesterday.
I don't see it with him, man. Everybody in Miami, Joe Rose, who played tight end, who is their color analyst, who's best friends with Marino, came on our show the second after that trade was over and said, this guy's better run after the catch than Travis Kelce and Kittle and all the great tight ends in the NFL.
Better than Tucker Kraft.
I don't even think he's the best on the team at it. I don't think Freiermuth's exactly fleet of foot or someone that's like evading a bunch of tacklers, but there's no run after the catch with Smith so far. I think you'd give it like a D if you're really, really down on the Pickens trade. Because that...
I'm not... I can't put myself... So I think C is probably right.
So they've made three moves I think were good. Rodgers, Metcalf, Harmon.
Got it.
And I think...
Harmon's a good move. Metcalf is frustrating sometimes with these drops because that wasn't the first one yesterday.
I know, but he makes big plays, Chris.
He's definitely more good than bad. And he gives you, until last night, very little of the like George Pickens extracurriculars that drive people nuts.
But here's what I factor into their offseason now as a negative. The Watt extension. The Watt deal's not a good deal right now. The production's way down.
It's not going to magically get better either.
And he's super duper expensive.
Okay, I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to cut you off again to say one other thing. We got like into the nitty gritty.
So I'd give their offseason exactly a C. Go ahead.
We got into the nitty gritty on Watt. And do you remember what I said about him stylistically as a player and why I was leery of it and didn't want it to happen? We were in the same boat here, not wanting them to do this and thinking they should have inquired about trading him. I said a guy like Garrett's going to age better because he's speed and power, but he's a lot of power. And I said Watt is a first step guy. And once the first step goes, those guys become eminently more blockable when they're not winning off the line of scrimmage quickly with that first burst. Does he look like a guy who's got that burst anymore? Not to me. I said speed rushers, which he is way more of than a power rusher. He's a speed technique guy. Do not age as well as power rushers do. He does not appear to be aging well.
My biggest critique of him is you're really the defensive version of Dan Moore. Dan Moore could only play left tackle. He couldn't play right tackle. He made it clear to them, the Steelers understood that. They never really tried him there because of his complete refusal to really do it. Watt is lining up over the right tackle on every play because he doesn't think he's good on the left side. And he doesn't think he's good running up the middle either. So these things we see the Green Bay defense do with Micah Parsons, that's...
And Myles Garrett in Cleveland.
I know
they lost badly yesterday, but
five sacks.
I'm just gonna say this. I'm not talking about balance of their careers. I'm talking about right now because they all got extensions this offseason.
Yeah, so right now Garrett's playing better than Watt. It's hard to deny
so
that.
So is Parsons.
Yeah, you can't. You can't argue that.
What I want to be very clear about is it's apples to apples in the sense that they all got new contracts this offseason. He doesn't look like he belongs in the same sentence with those two right now. He doesn't. Garrett has more sacks yesterday than Watt has all year.
True.
He's got more than twice as many. Parsons played one of the better games you'll ever see. Like, Parsons yesterday was a classic example of you're so worried about what a guy can do that it allows other players to be really good around him.
He does more because they let him do more, and
because
he's also willing to do more. Exactly.
Because he was drafted as an off-ball linebacker,
that's where he played at Penn State most of the time. Yeah. I mean, Watt, he's not a one-trick pony in that he's only an edge rusher or speed rusher and he can't play the run or he can't drop back and pick off a ball sometimes or punch a ball out and force a fumble.
If he's not forcing turnover, he's like the microcosm of Mike's philosophy. He doesn't seem to get home as regularly as those guys do that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
He doesn't affect every play with his presence because he was getting single blocked. If he doesn't make the absolute most of his times where he does get home and force a turnover or do something spectacular with it, if it's just a sack... As crazy as that sounds, I think it mutes his impact.
He's not playing his level of football at
all.
Also,
where's like the tone set by him just being like a max effort guy at least, like a Max Crosby, your hair's on fire every play, you're a complete psycho out there. Where's any of that with him?
Good question. Here's John on the fan. Hello, John. John?
John?
Awesome talk.
Good
stuff. Here is Mike next. Hello, Mike.
Hey guys, hope all's well.
Yep.
Last week you had a segment after the Bengals game and said, where are you? You know, glass half empty, half full.
Yeah.
And my thought was right in the middle. It's just the same thing that we see year after year. And I remember a couple years the great Joe Starkey saying about Pirates fandom. You know, you want to hear fans being, you know, happy and angry because it means they care about the team. The last thing you want them to do is be apathetic. And I think that's where I am, and I think a lot of people are. It's just, this is who they are.
Well, I'm not apathetic. I'm still very engaged and very interested in it. I just have an understanding, I think, of how it's going to end, and that kind of makes it less enjoyable. Right? I mean, like,
I'm not apathetic at all. They managed to get me very angry because I get more angry than almost anything at a team when I feel like I very clearly know what they should be doing in a capped league where there isn't like an artificial constraint put on them or an artificial advantage, whatever structural advantage. And that team not only doesn't do those things, but is obnoxious and stubborn and overly prideful that their way is the right way when there's no supporting evidence that it is.
Here is Adam next. Hello, Adam.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
We're okay. What's up?
So let me preface. I'm a Penn State fan, a Steelers fan, season ticket holder. Who's better in the last 10 years in their career, James Franklin or Mike Tomlin? In percentage, it's James Franklin.
Franklin is over Franklin over the last 10 years is, but Mike's been a coach for longer than 10 years.
Exactly. The last 10 years, everyone's already no playoff wins. Why is James Franklin fired? I'm all for the Franklin fire. When is Tomlin's time? That's my real question. He's not won a playoff game. Hasn't done anything. He's in your offseason grades. I'm giving it an F because they have not done anything. It's the same season every year. First round exit. Maybe make the playoffs.
So you don't like the Aaron Rodgers move then?
I like the Aaron Rodgers move, but what's he going to do? He's going to make the playoffs?
No, sure. But Aaron Rodgers is here because of Mike.
Okay, but what's around Aaron Rodgers? I guess DK, yeah, you got rid of your other good receiver in George Pickens. Your defense is god-awful, and that's his realm.
This just sprang into mind to me. I also don't think the offensive line is where it needs to be either.
It's not.
The offensive line has done better because they came up with this gimmick with Darnell Washington and Spencer Anderson. And kudos to them, and I give them credit for doing it.
And I think at times that's led to better confidence in play, right. But not like a long, sustained period you can single up Broderick Jones on Parsons and trust him.
Yes, but part of what necessitated that was that the offensive line before that wasn't getting the job done.
And to what I was saying earlier in the show, like if you lose Seumalo and you lose your ability to run the jumbo formation, you suddenly have no offense.
Yeah.
Well, that speaks back to the idea that when you have to line up and play straight up against somebody, you can't do it. Also, did you see the percentage of times the Packers blitzed yesterday? I think they blitzed one time.
I was just going to say, they don't blitz at all.
They blitzed one snap, I believe. It was 2% of Rodgers' dropbacks.
Jeff Hafley, Coach Tomlin's son.
And they could have hired a Jeff Hafley.
Of course. But Jeff would have just been a yes man here. Right? That's what would have happened. He wouldn't have been left to his own devices.
I'm going back to maybe the first call.
But he gets to make his own calls because he's got Matt LaFleur as a head coach who lets the defensive coach do his thing.
I'm just going back to, like, think the first call of the show that said they wanted Terrell Austin fired, not because Terrell Austin really had done anything one way or another, but that it would force the Steelers to say Mike Tomlin is the defensive coordinator. He calls the defense. He schemes up the defense.
It's your problem. Fix it. I love that call.
Your name is plastered on it. The Steelers defense brought to you by Mike Tomlin.
I loved that call.
And that is the best justification for firing Terrell Austin I can possibly come up with.
Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. Hodgepodge is next on Steelers Packers. After us, Austin Bechtold, a double dip of Austin. Stay tuned for that. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. It's the PM team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
15-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High of 59 today. Mike Tomlin, after another disappointing, aggravating performance by the most overpaid and overrated defense in Steelers history, talking about his message to the team. And you can tell me if this is just like a pet peeve of mine, if you think I'm focusing in on the wrong things. But I just get really annoyed when after a game like that, and this like lecturing tone, I have to hear Mike Tomlin tell me about his team's overall stance on how they go about their business and about how, generally speaking, his teams say very little when they win and say even less when they lose. To paraphrase, we're not a team that talks a lot. We're a team that lets our business do the talking. No, you're not. And he doesn't even follow his own rules and instructions there. He literally said before the season started, we have the potential to be a historic defense. I think we'll be a historic defense this year. He said that. He set the bar super high for his team. He like put that out there as a barometer for them. And everybody else followed. I don't know if they started it and he felt like he couldn't abandon his own guys by telling them to like back down and back off and tone it down. But a lot of guys on that defensive side of the ball said, in retrospect, in hindsight, really, really, really stupid things about the kind of defense they were going to be this year. Thornhill, best ever. Peyton Wilson, I can be the best coverage linebacker in the NFL. Joey Porter Jr., I think I'm the best corner in the NFL. Just to call out a few guys. Like, their reputation right now is not, well, you don't hear from us. We'd rather have our actions do the talking. Malsy, that's not true. This is exactly what turned me off to him. Like, when I started to do a 180 on Tomlin, it was that year that they lost to the Jags in the playoffs, and all they did was talk a big game about that season, that team, and what they were going to do. And they laid one of the biggest eggs in Steelers playoff history against a quarterback who'd rather be like dipping and mowing his lawn than playing football. And a bunch of his guys probably felt emboldened by him to say those things and act that way. And I guess when there's no consequences or repercussions for losing, you can do that. You can say one thing and do another.
That year, did he not tell everyone get ready for part two with the Patriots?
Yep.
So they hadn't even played the game. He already was talking before they had won a game. Remember, they talk minimally when they win. They talk even less when they lose. Before the game had even been played, he was speaking loudly about what he intended to do, which was go play the Patriots again and presumably beat them.
And they had already lost, so if he takes his own words to heart, he wouldn't say anything.
Church mouse quiet, although that was a game where they lost because of a bad call. It doesn't matter, neither here nor there. I don't know. I file this one under platitudes that he says, and if the team is 11-3 and coming off of a Super Bowl appearance or something the previous year and they lay an egg, I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Right. But the team hasn't won a playoff game in almost a decade. He has routinely turned in non-competitive performances. He has more power over what the team does than probably any head coach in the entire league, with the possible exception of like Andy Reid. He has done precious little with all of that power and say so. They have built the team in his image and likeness. They have allowed him full control over the defense such that even when he does something objectively really good, like bring in an excellent coordinator, in my opinion, in Brian Flores, he sticks him with the linebackers and doesn't let him do anything. So this just is another chapter in what is now a very long book of Mike Tomlin says random thing that sounds kind of catchy and good. Somebody will latch on to it. And Chris Mueller won't pay attention because he doesn't give a rat's ass. That's the name of the book. It's kind of a long title. We're trying to shorten it with the publisher. But I hear that from him, and it just goes in one ear and out the other because it's noise to me.
But the easiest teams to not like are the ones that talk the talk and can't walk the walk.
It's very difficult for me, who a guy who actually thought Joey Porter Jr. was going to be a good corner. It's very difficult for me to not be frustrated by him, because the one time a game he actually makes a play, he's up. He's doing the big, like, hands up in the air at the crowd. I don't know who he's pointing at or, like, gesturing to. And then I've got to deal with him committing between 2 and 7 penalties every the rest of the game. I don't care, man. At least when Jalen Ramsey, I think more than most of those guys, does try to stand on business. He'll be demonstrative, but he hits usually. When he's playing well, he's playing his hair's on fire.
Oh, he can hit. He just can't cover.
Well, right. Exactly. Because they've left him now at 3 different positions, none of which he seems equipped for. But like, when I see guys who have accomplished literally nothing of significance in the league, by the way the league measures it, have you won a playoff game? Have you been an all-pro? Have you been a pro bowler? Woofing their heads off, man. I hate sounding like the guy who's doing the get off my lawn, I'm an old man, because I don't care if people celebrate, but I don't want to hear it from them. Antonio Brown is one of the most ill-behaved Steelers in a very long time.
Sure.
He was also the best in the world at what he did for several years in a row. I don't care that Antonio Brown had absurd celebrations, did the running jump into the goalpost. When he would do that, you know what my only worry was? Don't hurt yourself. You're too good. Please do not hurt yourself.
If he's so offended by, or if he hates so much the idea of guys talking without accomplishing or achieving anything, why did he allow for it? And then why did he do it himself? Like, you have to know, when your defense is this bad, your pass defense is the worst in the league, you've gotten lit up by a 40-year-old quarterback and a good quarterback. Not a great, good, but you made him look all-time great. He completed 20 in a row. You've got to know, when they do these things, people are going to remind you that you said that they're capable of something historic. Like, that's also, and actually, let me even shift it to this. It's not just like this false bravado and like cockiness that isn't even warranted because the team hasn't gotten results for a long time. That might not even be the worst part of it. How about just the misevaluation? How about that you thought these guys, this collection of players,
was going to be really good,
were capable of that kind? Yes.
Can I add something,
Chris,
specific
even,
to that?
That's actually way worse.
I'm going to add something when you think that about I think it. Is even worse than just saying the misevaluation. I think Mike has been around football long enough to know that it's also a very much a young man's game. Would you agree with that? Like, he knows this.
You know, he's told guys, if I can find someone younger or cheaper to do your job, I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Right. Think about the average age of the players that they brought in. I think, like, mainly the secondary guys, it's like almost 31 years old. Do you know what the average age of the oldest team in the league usually is every year? Like 27, almost 28. He brought in 34-year-old Darius Slay, 30-year-old Jalen Ramsey. Who else? Who else got brought in this year? Who am I missing here? Chuck Clark's in his 30s, isn't he? Feels like he is.
Thornhill's been on. This is his third team.
Thornhill might as well
be 30.
In his 30. Okay. He brought in a bunch of guys to play in the defensive backfield. Perhaps the greatest domain of you better be young and
fast. You
got to
run.
Because you got to run. And he brought in a bunch of old guys, and I think very hubristically thought, I am a good enough coach, and I believe in these guys enough, and they're all good enough reputationally, except Thornhill's not, that we're going to make this work. And look how bad it's gone. And look at how, the specific way in which they've gotten torched.
Chris, their best player under 30 is Herbig. He's only 23, and he can't get on the field now.
Because Mike doesn't think he's good enough against the run.
And Highsmith's making all that money, so what do? You can't flip it. They've used Herbig the last two games, and no offense to this guy, because I would consider him a friend, and this is no way of denigrating his NFL career whatsoever. They've used him like Arthur Motes the last 2 weeks. They haven't treated him like, this is one of our better defensive players. We need to invent and concoct ways to get him on the field. They've used him like a backup who comes in to give guys a blow.
They've used him like a guy where, instead of, we've got to invent ways to get him on the field, they're like, we have to have a very specific situation to even justify putting you on the field. Also, I would take Arthur right now on the Steelers defense, because I know Arthur will at least hit. You can just ask
100%.
Brett Favre.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I don't know, man. Like, I just think there's a lot of hubris here. There's a lot of trust us, it'll work. It's what Mike likes to say. Whenever he's going to get asked tomorrow, Mike, what makes you think that you could? It's been two very bad games in a row for your defense. What gives you confidence? What do you see that gives you a belief that it'll turn around? And he will say something to the effect of,
I see the work they put in.
Yep. I know what they're capable of. I know what I'm capable of. I know what kind of work I put in. He won't say specifically. He'll just use that platitude because that's just what it boils down to for him.
He'll play the football justice card and all that.
Yeah, he'll do that too. Also, here's the other thing. Talk about misevaluations. What about guys just flat out getting worse who started one way? Wouldn't you say it's fair to consider that Porter and Benton both had promising first years?
Yes.
And have gone backwards?
Yes.
How is that not the biggest failure of coaching of all?
I think Wilson, too. I think Wilson showed signs of being a good player in year one, and I haven't seen him take a step forward whatsoever.
Admittedly, I've got people in my mentions who really don't like Peyton Wilson saying all he does is run after people who have already run by him, and that kind of looks accurate right now.
I was just going to go to that guy. Here's Brad on the fan. Hello, Brad.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Before I talk about the Steelers, I want to preface something because it has really stuck out with me.
Yep.
Last year, my wife and I ran into Malzi, you and Bob Pompiani and Filippone down at the
Tequila. I remember that Cowboys game. Yeah, it was Pitt. It was before Pitt Syracuse, before Kyle McCord. Before Kyle McCord played the worst game I've ever seen by a quarterback. Yes.
And you guys treated us royally, and that's always stuck out with me. And I wanted to just call one. I'm going to vent in a minute, but I wanted to thank you guys just for how well you treated us.
You bet.
Now let's talk about the mess in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Number one, we have a coach that has to run everything his way. When he had Brian Flores in there, he was threatened. So of course, we gave him a minimal job, and he did the minimum. And he went elsewhere. Mike Tomlin thinks he can intimidate the media if anybody asks some tough questions. I love when he impersonates an English teacher and he's going to throw words out that he thinks nobody understands. And he's
to be fair, that part did go over well early in his tenure with my mother, who happened to be an English teacher. But admittedly, it's lost its luster with her after about 10 years of not really doing anything, Brad. But as you were saying, please continue.
And it just, like, he tries to just over-talk people that they'll even get away from their original.
Brad, I think he's able to do some of these things that you're talking about because I think there's absolutely zero accountability. Yeah, thanks for calling in and saying nice things. There's no accountability from the owner.
We didn't do anything crazy. I think we bought you a beer and said thanks for listening.
Were we at Mike's Beer Bar for that
show? No, that was at Tequila Cowboy.
Oh,
or Pitt Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now you had a very sharp memory of that. Now it's coming back
wife.
To me. Yeah, no.
They're big
okay.
Pitt fans. They drive in for Pitt basketball.
No, I do.
Games
now I do remember that one. Okay.
412-928-9370. The Steelers are on pace to have their worst pass defense of all time. And Mike Tomlin is talking about settling for field goals and getting too many penalties instead of addressing his horrible pass defense. He also said after the game that when they lose, they say very little, or after they win, they say very little, and when they lose, they say less. This is the same guy who told everybody that he had a historic defense in 2025. Well, he was right, but it's just gone the other way. Historically bad.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.